Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us now, MLB Network. You can watch him tonight, MLB Tonight, starting at 10 o'clock. Also, MLB Tonight featuring the David Ortiz number retirement ceremony as the Angels take on the Red Sox. Former Oriole himself, let's bring him in on the Ackerman Security Hotline, Harold Reynolds. Harold, good afternoon. Hey. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
We appreciate your time. And 19 consecutive games, six runs or more, and Ryan and I have talked about this for a couple of days. Expectations for the Orioles rotation wasn't great to begin with, but they're about to set a historic record, and it's a dubious one at that.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to win games when the pitching has been as poor as it's been. And, you know, when you start, it doesn't matter if it's 10-0, 5-0, 6-0 early. It just is problematic for the whole club. You know, you watch Bundy and Gosman, and you're hoping those guys would take a step, and they've taken a step back, step forward. So you kind of expect that. But, you know, Tillman's been the guy that just really has kind of disappointed, because you thought for sure he'd be that stabilizer, and then you don't know what you're going to get from Jimenez. But it's been tough. It's a tough place to be as an organization, and it's a tough to turn it around.
Harold, the big story in Baltimore for the last year, and it's going to continue to be until there's a resolution, is what to do with Manny Machado. The Orioles now in the midst of this scuffle, maybe out of this thing by the time the trade deadline rolls around. If they are, is now the time to move Manny Machado, or do you hold out hope that the Orioles bring him back?
Well, I mean, you hope that you can bring him back, but I think you got to go into strong negotiations right now and really figure out what you can do. And maybe you catch him in a down year that he's having right now and throw a good offer at him and say, hey, we're trusting you through the injuries you've had, and we trust that you're going to be great moving forward, and here's the deal, and not let him get to that free agent market. Or if he doesn't want to come to terms and you get a real good idea that he's going to test that market and you're out of it, yeah, you go ahead and try to move him. I mean, that's how you have to do it. I think that's what the Orioles are in that unique position. They're not Boston. They're not New York. They're not that market where you're going to continue to hire $100 million, $200 million players and carry them on your roster, a bunch of them. And, you know, so you got to make decisions like that.
Harold Reynolds joining us here, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Hating, Ryan Wagner on this Featured Artist Friday, talking about unloading and making moves, rebuilding and getting yourself ready, whatever the, I guess, the mindset of organization
is. Also, in that same vein, you got to think that way of Zach Britton if he comes back healthy.
And he's getting close.
Think about that, too.
Well, I said that. Ryan and I talked about it, Harold, a couple of days ago. If he's healthy, if.
Yeah.
You look at the Nationals and say, hey, you guys need a closer. This might be the guy that puts you over the hump. I wouldn't be reluctant to trade Zach Britton at all if I'm the Orioles.
No, not at all. And you know, again, we're talking about being realistic with the organization and where they're at. And you have to sit there and say, are they going to compete with the Red Sox? Are they going to make a wild card? And I don't think this team right now is in that position. They're still hanging around. Seems like every year we wait for the miracle of Buck to pull them through. But at some point in time, you have to refocus the organization and try to see some issues that you have and address them. And sometimes that means you got to give up a couple of your star guys to do it.
Harold, since they added that second wild card back in 2012, how has that altered teams' ability to move around the trade deadline? It seems like before that, you were either in it or you were out of it. Thanks to that second wild card now, teams are hanging around a lot longer than they thought they would have in previous years. How has that changed things around that 31st deadline?
Oh, it's totally changed everything. It's changed the whole game. Because now, you know, if the Orioles knew they didn't have a shot at a second wild card, maybe they changed their whole fortunes right now in June. And the beauty of baseball is we haven't had a repeat winner since the Yankees repeated, what, like 2000? You know, so every year we've got a new champion, and you can turn it around quick. So that glimmer of hope, a wild card is not like in the other sports. Our wild card wins the World Series sometimes. So really, if you just play to get in, and then you got a chance. But it's changed everything because clubs, the ones that are pretenders, continue to think they're in it. and other ones that are contenders say, you know what, we're going to hang on. And, you know, you look at the Cubs, for example. I really think they're sitting there going, all right, we're going to get in the playoffs. And that's a dangerous team to face when you get in the postseason. So it changes everything. It makes it great. I think it's great because it makes it interesting for a lot of clubs. I played on a lot of teams in Seattle when this time in June, season was over. You know, no wild card, no nothing, and we were done. So I think the wild cards made it a lot more appealing and a lot more fun.
You talk about dangerous teams. We just got the Cleveland Indians in town for 4 days here in Baltimore, taking three out of four from the Birds. But if it's as simple as getting Salazar and Bauer straightened out before not only they dominate their division, they really start to challenge the Astros maybe for AL supremacy.
Yeah, I think, you know, last year they caught everybody by surprise with the run they made to the World Series. You're kind of like, the Indians? You know?
Right.
And now I think seeing the depth, seeing the move they made to get Encarnacion, Michael Brantley's back, you start looking around at that roster and all the pitchers you just named, and you go, wow, this is a really good team. They could win a World Series. And I think they're one of the top contenders, no doubt about it.
Harold, taking a look at the National League, the NL West has been surprising me. I mean, you've got three teams, all of them, almost 20 games over 500, the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Rockies. Of those three teams, who do you expect to be on the top of that division when it's all said and done?
Well, I'd love to say the Rockies. I think it's a great story, and they're playing great. But, you know, I have to believe it's going to be the Dodgers. They have so much depth. I don't like how they play their games all the time and how they manipulate the 10-day DL and use 1,000 relievers and, you know, rotate their lineups and stuff. It's just not the type of baseball that I like watching, but they're getting results. And the crazy thing is they have so much depth, and then you got to remember they have the money. You know, and the reason I think they're going to be in it is you look at last year, you know, down the stretch they had an offer out there to go get Zach Greinke. He was a $200 million pitcher. And they were like, we want him, we're going to bring it on. And the deal didn't get done, but the Dodgers made that kind of a move to go do it. And so I don't think they would hesitate to go get a David Price if they thought that was somebody that they wanted, that Boston wanted to unload or something like that. I think, you know, they would be the team that would say, we're not worried about it. Here's how we see it. Let's go do it.
Harold Reynolds joining us, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Ryan Wagner on this Featured Artist Friday. Let's get into some old school baseball and unwritten rules, philosophies, et cetera, et cetera. We're talking about this yesterday, Harold, on the air about Dyson's bunt. You mentioned the Mariners. Gerard Dyson drops down the bunt. Verlander's throwing a perfect game. I know some people are up in arms about it. I had no problem with it at all because not only did he break up the perfect game, it started a three-run rally, which eventually knocked Verlander out of a game in which the Mariners would go on to win. Where does Harold Reynolds stand on bunting for a base hit when someone's dealing a perfect game?
Well, I was a guy that bunted, and in that situation, I probably would swing. You know, I want to swing. I'm going to take you man-to-man. You're doing what you did. Let's go. But I understand, too, the Mariners are in a pennant race, and so Dyson did his job, and it looks better that they scored runs and they won the game. But it was still early. You know, it's like, what, sixth inning, fifth inning? You know, if it's seventh or later, I think you got to swing your way through it and see what you can do. That's just kind of the unwritten rule of it all. But that's, you know, and everybody has the funny thing about unwritten rules. It depends on what team and what person you're talking to, because everybody's writing their own written rule. So for me, I would have had to go ahead and swing. But I understand it, and I don't have a problem with it.
Harold, in that same vein, you're talking about unwritten rules. It seems to me we've seen a lot of brawls and a lot of beanball wars this year. We saw it, obviously, here in Baltimore with Manny Machado against the Red Sox with the slide into Pedroia. The Hunter Strickland thing, which was, in my opinion, just absolute nonsense 2 years after he faced Bryce Harper. What do you make of that? I mean, baseball talks all the time about reaching out to a younger audience, making the game more exciting, and then you've still got these seemingly arcane rules about the proper way to play the game.
Well, I think with everything, you got to have balance, and there is a proper way to do things regardless, whether it's, you know, what you're going to put on your pancakes. You know, there's a proper way of doing it. But I think we're in a crossroads because the game is so young. The players, the average age is so young. We have guys that may have got drafted last week that are going to be in the big leagues next year. I mean, and so a lot of pitchers have not learned how to command the inside half. So you're going to have guys get hit that is unintentional, ends up being intentional, or they may not know how to do it. And that ends up resulting in a brawl. You have a generation of players now that are coming to the big leagues that never really been pitched inside. You know, when I came to the big leagues, all the way through the minors, you went 0-2, you were getting knocked down. And I was told if you don't hit the inside pitch in the big leagues, you won't play. Because you're going to get knocked down, you're going to get challenged. And that was how the game was played. Now we see more opposite field home runs than I've ever seen. And that's because hitters are diving out, and their first movement is to look outside. And so a pitcher may throw a ball that's not even in, but it's on the inside half of the plate, but the batter's diving, and he thinks he got thrown at. So it's a tough time that they're in right now, but I do think there are some things that are common sense. You know, you got to use some common sense. I did not like the Strickland thing. That's just ridiculous. That was his own personal vendetta. The deal with Boston, okay, you didn't like the slide. You took your shot. You don't throw five times at a guy. You know, that's just common sense. So I thought the manager should have been suspended over that. After a while, you're the one that's got that directive. It's been 2 weeks in between. You got to control that issue. So there's all kinds of different dynamics that go through it, but that's kind of how I'm seeing the game right now.
Ryan and I were talking, Harold, a couple of days ago about Aaron Judge and the big year he's having for the Yankees, and he's getting a lot of pub, and rightfully so. But you mentioned the Dodgers earlier. What are your early impressions of Cody Bellinger out there?
Well, I love him. You know, he's I've known Cody for a long time, and you knew it was coming. I didn't expect this kind of a takeoff. I don't think you can say that with Aaron Judge or anybody at this age, but it was in there. You know, we have this question at the network that we've been going back and forth with for the next 10 years. Who do you want? You want Aaron Judge or you want Cody Bellinger? And it's a tough challenge, but I think I'd take Bellinger. You know, he can play first base, outfield, left-handed hitter. I think he's got a huge upside, and that's not to diminish what Aaron Judge is doing, but that's just to tell you how much I think of Cody.
Harold, last question for you. The Orioles are celebrating 25 years at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Hard to believe that it's been around that long. You were here you were here in 93, so you were here right after the ballpark opened. What are your thoughts on Camden Yards and your memories of playing there?
Still my favorite ballpark. You know, I loved it before as a visitor and then getting a chance to play there. Just, you know, the brick. I remember the first day I went to Camden Yards, and I came in through the brick side over there where the main offices are, and you walk through and you see all the trophies and just the history. And I got a tremendous history lesson of what the organization was about, and I'll never forget that. But that is a special ballpark. Great memories. Had some great friends. I love playing with Cal Ripken. That was probably one of my favorite teammates. Just the way he went about business and controlling the running game, talking, you know, practicing, playing games within the game, you know, all kinds of stuff. We used to have my own signs and stuff like that. I'll tell you a funny, quick Cal story, and then I'll let you go. But he used to put on his own hit and runs. And so the third base coach would give a sign, but Cal would give a hit and run to supersede maybe what the third base coach puts on. So I'm on first, and Johnny Oates is the manager, and he doesn't want me running in this situation, so I get the don't run from the third base coach. I look down at the plate, and Cal puts on the hit and run. Well, you gotta be kidding me. So I take off, he fouls it off. And, you know, our dugout is right there at first base. And, you know, you see where Buck is at every night, the tunnel's right at the other end. Well, if you walk down to the other end of the dugout, you're right by first base. Johnny walks all the way from the manager's post down there to the other end, and he's screaming at me, "It's the easiest sign we have! It's the easiest sign we have!" All you had to do is just put his head over the Oriole bird, and that was like the not-go sign for me. And he's screaming at me from the dugout. I can hear him. He's right there. And pitch goes by. Look down. He gives me the don't run again. Cal puts hit and run on again. Base hit to right. I go to third. I end up scoring, and Johnny meets me in the dugout and is wearing me out. And finally I go, "Cal, put on the hit and run." And he goes, "Oh, okay." And he walks off.
Wow. How about the dynamic of power back at 93 with the Orioles? And it did result in a run, Harold. I guess it all worked out.
Fun playing with Cal, because it was almost like playing the backyard baseball and just, you know, stuff that you would do when you were playing wiffle ball in the backyard, because he played so many games that I'm sure he had to do things to amuse himself. and he also had an understanding of what guys were going to try to do in certain situations. And it was just so fun. It was really free. And Johnny allowed him to be himself and play within all those barriers and those boundaries, I should say, and let him just go. And it was great. It's a great time.
Harold Reynolds, you can watch him tonight, MLB Tonight at 10 o'clock on MLB Network. Harold, we appreciate your time. Great story about Cal, which I'm sure is going to generate some interest here on the program today.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Harold.
All right, Harold Reynolds on the Ackerman Security Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.